Welcome back to Business Resolutions with your host, Jorge Gonzalez.
Okay, we're back with Jose Irizarry, and I cut him off because he was biting at the bit to tell us how he got to Syracuse. We had mentioned, you know, that your aunt, actually your cousin, but your aunt had told you about that this was the program. You joined the musical group as your way to get to the States to start moving your way towards Syracuse. You end up in Hollywood, Beverly Hills, Abercrombie & Fitch. And okay, so how does the move to Syracuse take place? How the application process, mm-hmm. and how do you get there and all?
Well, actually, you know how everything is in life. Sometimes now that I'm older, I can recognize that sometimes there is a certain urge or a feeling that you have when is the right time to do whatever things are, you know. And I thought that it was the right time to me to move and start the Syracuse dream. Mm-hmm.
And not because all of a sudden you had a lot of money that came it was just something that told you inwardly that this was the moment to make the move to Syracuse and the gerontology masters.
The same thing that I took the move to go to Las Vegas. which could be crazy for people. And actually I had a good job, you know, with the store.
Right.
You know, so, and I could go higher with the whatever could happen. But I said, this is the time. And I talked to my wife, and like I said, she's a hero. And she said, okay, let's go.
Okay.
And I applied to the university. I remember I sent the application. I actually went to Syracuse. I took a flight it was a discount flight from all the way from from Los Angeles to New York. And then I took another flight to Syracuse. And I went to university, it was important for me to see it. You know, actually went there and I saw the department. I spoke with certain people. I got the applications directly from them, and then I went back and took my time to fill out the application, whatever. I had 6 credit to finish at the University of Puerto Rico because I never finished my bachelor's degree, you know, at that time because of all these crazy moves, you know. But I said, well, I have to go to Syracuse. So I send information and I started waiting for the answer and never got an answer from them. You know, I didn't know what was
happening. You called.
I called and they couldn't find me. So, and I already had made my mind. And so my wife quit her job in Max Factor and I quit my job in Abercrombie & Fitch and we drove. We took a car and we drove 3,200 miles.
With your 4-year-old, 5-year-old boy?
Yeah, with Cheito, another hero. I remember he was playing.
Well, he didn't have much to say.
Yeah, that's right. You know, I think that,
he was there for the ride, as
exactly.
They say.
Actually, he was for a ride. 3,200 miles, it wasn't easy. So we drove. I remember my first stop was from Los Angeles, we stopped in Las Cruces, New Mexico, which is 16 hours. And then from there, we went straight to Dallas. And from Dallas, we went to, I had my friends in Fort Bragg because I was with 82nd. I stayed a couple of days in Bragg with my friends that they were still with 82nd. And then we drove all the way to Syracuse. And I got to Syracuse and I remember we were very tired. I got there on a Monday, I think it was. And went to the department, admission department, and I told them, look, I am here, I applied for this university, but I never got an answer. And this is my paperwork, I showed them, I had copies of what I applied, and we come back. When she come back, she came back, I'm sorry, she told me, I'm sorry, but you're not accepted. I said, what, I'm not accepted? What, you know, so I told her, look, I just traveled 3,200 miles, and I think it was a situation from your office that you didn't tell me that I wasn't accepted when I sent this information long time ago. So right now I'm here. I don't have a place to stay. My wife and my son are here, and I want to know what are you going to do about it.
So there's a good conflict negotiation moment.
Yes, it was. Yes. So because it was true.
With a lot of ay bendito.
Ay bendito, but a lot of assertiveness because I was upset.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
I think it was just against my values. You know, I sent this. I came here. I went, you know, I did all the right things. You know, So right now, what I'm going to do?
And I really want to be here.
Yeah. And so he said, well, please come back in an hour. When I came back, the director of the admissions, it was Dr. Bonhoff, I remember. And he said to me, look, you know, I think that you taught me a lesson. You know, you taught me a lesson that when, you know, to really take and not take anything for granted, you know, you show me that. And so what he did, I didn't have to take any test to get into the university.
And I think what he meant by not taking anything for granted, that he took for granted that you weren't a really serious applicant.
Exactly.
And that you weren't going to follow up and that you weren't all that interested.
This guy from California.
Yeah, with the band and the Abercrombie. This, you know, okay, so yeah, that's
so
it.
So that's the fun point. And then he turned out to be the greatest friend in the university, not only for me, for many Puerto Ricans that came after.
Mm-hmm, right.
You know, because whenever he saw application from Puerto Rico, he knew there was this Boricua that did this crazy thing. So he helped a lot of people.
Yeah, yeah.
So he helped me out. You know, I had a place to stay in the Marriott complex. He got me hooked with the financial office, so I got to be able to get at least a loan to start because I didn't have too much money. And then I told him that, you know, he said he noticed that I needed 6th grade to finish my bachelor's degree. And I said, well, I don't care if I have to start my bachelor's degree again. I just want to study.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, no, no, what we're going to do, we're going to let you start in our master's program, but with the commitment that when you finish your coursework, you have to go back to Puerto Rico and get the 6 credits, you know. And I said, well, no problem. And then maybe like 2 months after I started, I found out that I was a minority, you know, because I never saw myself as a minority, but I saw an ad, a minority grants for Afro-American studies, and you know, would give me an assistantship that would. And so I applied. It happens that the guy who was heading that program, minority program, was my professor in black aging, you know, I remember. And he told me, I'm sorry, Jose, he was from Tanzania, Ibrahim Rubama, not Obama, Rubama. And he told me, I'm sorry I didn't tell you, but yeah, you can apply for this and I'm the director. So I got the grant and I you know, from there, it's history. I didn't have to really pay anything to study. I took 9 credits for regular coursework and 3 credits for summer.
Was that 2-3 years? How long?
The
master's program at
Syracuse? 2.5 years.
2.5 years. So
yeah,
intensive. Extensive.
And it could be very expensive too.
Yeah, yes.
And thanks God that, you know, I have this opportunity to be able as a research assistantship to work. And then I had my influence in the community of Syracuse, because there is a west side of Syracuse, it's called there's a community of Puerto Ricans on San Lorenzo, many people from San Lorenzo. I got involved with the Hispanic Action League there. So I thought it was my first is to work with communities too, you know, which is many things that I'm doing now with the Rotary and Boys and Girls Club,
right,
and all that. So I got it was a good way for me to get involved with the community and to go and to understand the immigrants go. You know, I feel very proud to be Puerto Ricans because of the way they had to go. And these guys took the chance without knowing any English. At least I knew a little bit,
mm-hmm,
you know, but
right,
these guys, they went there and they had hard work and they were making it. So for me, it was very encouraging to really find out my roots outside of Puerto Rico. You know,
I think in Syracuse, besides the aging and the masters, rounding out your physical education, there was a great gymnasium
and
a great corporate work. You know,
that's where another of the from an entrepreneurship point of view, I saw my first state of corporate wellness. And corporate fitness, because of my background in tennis, I had the opportunity to teach tennis as part-time in Syracuse at a place called Liverpool Fitness Center. And one of the things about Liverpool Fitness Center is that they were providing corporate wellness program for Carrier Corporation, which is a big, you know,
the air conditioning.
That's headquarters were there. So I saw that they actually closed some of the tennis courts and put a gym. And so they started selling corporate fitness programs for Carrier. And I thought that, wow, this is something that is interesting. It's something that if I go back to Puerto Rico, I can set up some type of program such as this, because I was working with them.
Right.
So it gave me an idea of how to work with the wellness programs and all that. And so when I finished in Syracuse, then when I came back here, I started and then I came back to, because I had to finish my 6 credits here. You know, that's a commitment I had with the director of the admissions there, and they wouldn't give me the grade, you know. So I came back and started taking the credits here at the University of Puerto Rico. But you know, remember that they late in 83 or something, they had a big strike. There was a strike for more than a year. So they start here, but the university never opened. You know, so I started the coursework. So I said I had to go back. I had my son and my wife in Syracuse. And so I talked with the professors, and I had six credits, so it was 2 courses. So I talked to them, and they told me if I could get an independent study, that they could send me the test there. And okay, they did. You know, so I took the test, and then after that, I sent information. So the registrar in Puerto Rico sent me a letter that I finished my coursework. So they, with that letter, Syracuse University gave me the master's degree. But because the university wasn't open, still, so right now my bachelor's degree came after my master's. So yeah, that's kind of interesting.
A unique.
Yeah. So because there was a way it goes, you know. So it's, I think it's very funny that happened. And then when I came here, I went to teach I had this great opportunity. A friend of mine now, Joy Padial, was a teacher at the University of Sacred Heart. And he went to do another things, and they told me that if I had this opportunity to teach at the University of Sacred Heart, and I had to make the decision right away and say yes, you know. So I went and started teaching at the University of Sacred Heart for 5 years, and at that time I started working with Clinica de Medicina Deportiva.
The teaching in the Sagrado Corazón wasn't in the aging area.
It was basically physical education. Because at that time that was it. You know, there wasn't a fitness program. Yeah. It was a physical education program.
And aging, how are you going to get that into your life, was something that was going to happen, but you were ahead of your time when you came back with that master's program.
Same time, yes, but because when at that time there wasn't not a master's degree in gerontology, you had to take it's called a certificate, because gerontology wasn't really as a degree. So right. What I did when I studied physical education in Syracuse with a certificate in gerontology, okay. So I combined the two, right. You know, because that's the only way I could do it.
So the master's was in physical education with specialization, let's say, in gerontology.
In gerontology, okay. And in minority aging, too, because of my grant, you know.
But
it was minority aging because, you know, it was very interesting, right. You know, because, you know, look how many minorities are in the United States. You know, and actually they all age different culturally, socially, demographic wise.
And they treat their aged, different the elderly too. Differently,
yeah.
Which is really a critical
thing. So black aging is not the same as our Puerto Rican, Hispanic aging because of the language barrier, you know. So anyway, that was interesting.
Yeah.
So then when I started teaching here, I started teaching all the different skills. I taught tennis, swimming, I taught basketball, volleyball, softball. But then we had a fitness course, because Sacred Heart University at that time was the only course that you had to take a fitness. It's called Capacitación Física 105. I have still students that they would stop me, you know, because hey, professor, you remember me? Because they had to take part of the course. They had to run a mile and a half.
Mm-hmm, right.
You know, it was 12 laps around the baseball track in the baseball field in Sagrado. And I remember whenever I started the course, I would say, well, you know, one of the situation, you have to run 25 times. And he said, 25 times? He said, well, no, it's only 8. Oh, okay.
So I have to take a break. Okay. And we'll come back. And, sure. And we have a few minutes left.
Okay.